You're listening to the Social Media Show, sponsored by NILC, a training company providing over 500 business, IT and project management training courses. I'm your host, Jonathan Pollinger, and I'm a social media trainer. In each week's episode of this podcast, I chat with an inspiring personality from the world of business or social media. As well as listening to the podcast, you can watch the show live on Mondays at 9 a.m. on my Facebook page at facebook.com/PollingerSocial, where you can also catch the replay. In episode 28 of the Social Media Show, I talk with Matt Callanan of We Make Good Happen, We Make Success Happen, and We Make Film Happen. I hope you enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to this week's The Social Media Show. Great to have you on board, whether you're watching live on Facebook, live on Periscope, live on Twitter, or you might be watching the replay or listening to the podcast. With me today, I've got Matt Callanan. Great to have you on the show, Matt.
Hey, good morning.
I've been looking forward to this one for some time, and good to see that you're full of energy at pretty much the start of a new week and start of a new month.
Yeah, well, it's getting up at 5 a.m. By 9 a.m, it feels like half a day's already gone.
Why are you getting up so early then? Just a lot of projects on at the moment, or?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other story, but yeah, I've been doing the 5 a.m. thing for about 2 years now, yeah, I think.
Oh, have you? Right, okay.
Yeah, I had a moment while sitting in Bali looking out over a swimming pool and thought, I need to do much more. So, yeah, kickstarted a 5 a.m. kind of routine, yeah, and it works well.
Yeah, obviously it does, otherwise you wouldn't be keeping it up. So, just to sort of... let the viewers and listeners know a little bit more about yourself. Perhaps we'll kick off by We Make Good Happen. And how did you get into that? How long has it been going, and how did it sort of all kick off? Because that's probably the thing that you're most well known for, I guess.
Yeah, so I do kind of three main things. I run a video production company, We Make Film Happen. We Make Good Happen is the kindness project, and We Make Success Happen is the podcast. But We Make Good Happen started about 3 years ago. My dad was really good in the community, was always helping out with other people. And it's when I became a dad, my son Albie is four. And it's when I became a dad, I thought I need to kind of carry on my dad's legacy. He unfortunately died from cancer at 58. And I also wanted to be a good example to my son as well. So I just started this kind of father-son kindness project called We Make Good Happen. And we just started kind of doing nice, simple, good deeds. People started wanting to get involved on Facebook and Twitter. And also, people started copying what I was kind of doing. And then it was basically like Groundhog Day, this which was yesterday. I just did this thing called Tenor for Good, and basically I hid a number of envelopes around Cardiff, where I live, and hid the envelopes with these £10 in, and inside were like two rules: one, don't spend the money on yourself, and second, you gotta go out and do some good with it. And I hid them in secret locations and put photo clues of where those tenors were hidden all around the city. Yep. And put it up on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Ended up going viral just because I think it was quite a sort of fun thing to get involved with. Anyone could kind of do it. And that was a life-changing moment 3 years ago.
Something different as well, really. I guess that's why part of the reason people latch onto it. So you kind of like, it was really through social media then that the awareness of that got around the city then?
Yeah, I owe a lot to social media, and in particular Twitter. Twitter was really good at kind of, I think when it trended on Twitter, and I think that because I was on BBC News the morning that I was going to go and do it, and it just went absolutely wild. And it was from Twitter that loads of kind of opportunities kind of cropped up. Ended up on BBC Three doing a kind of short doc, which ended up having 3 million views on Facebook. And Yeah, I think it was really good for people contacting me, doing sort of DMs and stuff like that. And yeah, I was able to sort of ride on the back of that going viral for months and months, basically. And yeah, it sort of completely changed my life and changed how I sort of do my other business, my video production business and things like that. So yeah, I owe a lot in particular to Twitter.
So it sort of like kicked off the whole "we make X brand" thing then, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is. I basically, through We Make Good Happen, I kind of found a purpose, and then I was able to then use the power of kind of storytelling and the power of social to potentially make a difference in other people's lives and make their days happier and be kinder to other people.
So I've sort of read about some really good stories that people inspired by you and finding that tenor and then doing good deeds with it. But did they then talk about those stories themselves on social? Did they reply to you back through Twitter and tell you what you'd done? How did you actually sort of evaluate as such? Not that you had to evaluate, but how did you find out what had happened as the result of the Tenor for Good campaign?
Yeah, I think that was a sort of clever part of the idea, and the fact that in that envelope, I also put on and said, take photos of, to the finder of that tenor, I said, like, take photos of what you do and then put it back up on Twitter. And I had all my kind of social media handles there, and that created more momentum and kept the story going because people wanted to find out what had happened to all these tenors. And so every time someone posted something up about what they did with that tenor, of course, that created a new wave and kept the idea and the story going longer. I mean, we put stuff out on Facebook, a little bit on Instagram, but Twitter was the one, and that was only 3 years ago. And I know Twitter has kind of died down for most people, but I think that's a big plus because actually there's less people using it, and there's still some like really key people and influencers, and it's easier to get to them because they're not being inundated. Probably, you know, they're probably getting loads more messages over on Instagram, but on Twitter they're probably getting hardly any. So it's an easier way to kind of cut through the noise.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And the people that sort of remain active on Twitter, they are like really active and engaged, aren't they? So there is kind of like that positive to it to these days. I think it's become more about conversation. Which is good. It's sort of got back to its roots a little bit, but it's not so good anymore for directing traffic to websites and stuff like that. It's more about actually talking to people, which is a good thing because that's sort of Twitter's central plank. So with regard to the other projects, We Make Film Happen, is that your sort of commercial, I guess, business kind of like side of things?
Yeah, so I'm a little bit of background on me. I spent my 20s kind of being very lucky and DJing around the world and was a music producer, blagged a job at the BBC at the end of, I kind of wanted a change at the end of the sort of DJ career. I thought, I don't want to be really DJing into my 40s, 50s or 60s, otherwise it's just a bit embarrassing. Yeah, got a job at the BBC, and then unless you're Fat Boy Slim and earning absolutely shed loads, you don't care what people think then. So we left the BBC after doing 5 years there, and I kind of found my love of creating content and also video production. I kind of grew up with a video camera in my hand, thanks to my dad, and I kind of found that love again of just creating content and telling stories through video. So yeah, I mean, I've been doing that now for 9 years. We've flown all around the world and filmed people like George Clooney through to Richard Branson, and been up volcanoes with adventurers and filmed bands on top of igloos in Lapland and all this kind of stuff, which is great. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, that's not that's not like every single day. That's a sort of once in a blue moon kind of thing. But yeah, now we kind of use the video as, I suppose, a positive tool to help tell stories and help other people. I mean, like I say, there's one guy that we've been helping just before Christmas. This guy, he basically was basically begging under a street under a bridge in Cardiff, and he had a little sign up, and he was an out-of-work graphic designer, a guy called Daniel. And, yeah, I basically sort of met up with him, tried to work out how I could kind of help him. Originally, he was going to just come into the office and do some graphic design work, but he ended up having a much better idea, and he ended up starting an Indiegogo campaign to sell colouring books. So he's designed like a 24-page colouring book, all to do with the sea. So we helped him design and shoot a video and to help with that campaign, and raised nearly £3,500. And through the power of that video and by posting it out on particular, I think the biggest take up was either on Facebook, but actually there's some poignant moments that when I posted the video out on LinkedIn, someone I know on LinkedIn basically got in touch and offered him some accommodation over Christmas. So he went from like living in a tent to having a kind of accommodation, and then through that same contact, he's now in a house, in a rented house, which is incredible. And that just shows the power of one, a great idea. He had the great idea about the colouring book, and then our video sort of telling his story and why you should buy his colouring book and how it will change his life. We kind of helped in a small way there, but it just shows the power of one storytelling video and how social media can reach out and touch people emotionally on social media.
Very, very true, Matt, but I think you are being a bit modest there, because you're leaving your own contribution. I mean, you have actually, not only this guy's life have you changed there, but you know, he's not the only one, is he? Because through you, both directly and indirectly, there's loads of lives that have been changed. So I think you should take some credit for that. So I will flag that up if you won't.
Thanks. There's a big team of us anyway in We Make Good Happen, and so there's lots of other people that help.
But that's good that you managed to expand it from that initial base where you kicked the whole thing off, isn't it? So you can do even more good now. So that's tremendous. Then moving on to the are there three We Make Success Happen is the podcast. Is that the final one, or are there others as well?
Yeah, so I've kind of got a sort of overarching brand called We Make X Happen, very cool adventurer called Matt Pryor kind of gave me that idea, because I think as a creative, I've never really just done one thing. You know, as I was growing up, I was interviewing people, I was making music, I was DJing, I wanted to be on the radio and all this kind of stuff. And I've kind of done that throughout my whole career. And I think just having a sort of a purpose of trying to use creativity to make a positive change is a nice kind of undercurrent that I want to have with We Make X Happen. So yeah, there's a few kind of like different brands that I'm kind of thinking about. And We Make Success Happen is going really well. That podcast has been going for about a year now, and sort of charted at number one in business charts and got to number one in self-help. And even got to, I mean, I put a lot of marketing kind of momentum when we first launched.
Yeah.
And it got to number 14 in the UK top 100 charts in Apple podcast charts. Above, Russell Brand was at number 15. And more importantly, Gemma Collins was at number 16. So I was above Gemma Collins, which kind of made my year, I think.
That was the overall chart then, was it? The overall
episode. Yeah. So, I did a little talk the other week about in the Wales's first podcast conference. And in 6 minutes, I did a really kind of quick summary of what I learnt from doing the podcast. And that's up on YouTube. So if you go to We Make Success Happen up on YouTube, you can see that kind of talk. And I tell you kind of everything that I've learned, what I did marketing wise to get to that kind of point and make it successful.
So that's a really good tip for any wannabe podcasters or existing podcasters out there then, to check out that video, because you've been there and done it. So there's nothing like learning from somebody that's put their advice into practice. So we've talked quite a bit about digital side of things, social media, audio, video. How about are there any sort of other marketing methods you use to spread the word for the various projects?
Well, I do like just branding up everything, as you can see. So pretty much everywhere.
Good excuse to show up that question.
Yeah, so I'm always wearing pretty much a branded T-shirt. I even branded up some jeans, and I came back into the house and my wife was like, you just look like a racing car driver. You look ridiculous. But it does work. And
logos everywhere.
Yeah. So it does work. And people end up like having conversations and people will stop you in the street. And I just think, well, you know, why would you be going around wearing someone else's brand when you could be wearing, you know, you're a walking billboard. I mean, I even use my son, Albie. He wears the We Make Success Happen like brands as well, which is really good. In terms of marketing, I always like really doing stuff that grabs people's attention. I mean, I did one, I very nearly got arrested for this, so it's not really recommended. But when Prince Harry and Meghan came to Cardiff Castle, I thought there's a kind of a loose connection there. You know, the Queen's on £10 and my tenner for goods campaign. I thought, I wonder if I can get into the castle and see if they can they'd want to talk to me about tenner for goods. So I went in, you can see a few pictures up online, but I went in with a massive banner. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. The banner is like a sort of, it's because it looked like I was at a protest, which really confused the police. And the actual size of the banner couldn't fit in the car. So I was carrying, I walked in, somehow I managed to kind of blag it in. And there weren't loads of people there when I first turned up. So I was right up against the railings. I was holding this massive banner to do with like tenner for good. And I said, Harry and Meghan, do you want to do some good tenner for good? And I actually held, like dangling off the bottom of these of this big banner were like two £10 notes just kind of floating there.
What, real ones?
I thought, well, it's quite a sort of good talking point. And I thought, if Harry or Meghan actually come along and talk to me, you know, it's good, because I knew all the world's media were there. And so when I went up to the banner, you probably had about 200 of the world's media, one broadcasting live, because they, you know, it's a royal occasion. And loads of people like Sky came over and interviewed me because they wanted to know what the hell was going on. I mean, the police weren't that happy because they just couldn't work me out. So because I wasn't a protester, they couldn't shut me out, because I was actually like a guy. I was really transparent with them. I just said, look, I run a kindness project. I just want to be good to sort of talk to Harry or Meghan about tenner for good. Because I was like, what would they actually do with a £10? You know, what would Harry or Meghan actually do with a £10? I mean, do they actually carry any money? I don't know. But in the end, I actually had the royal protection person come over and just said, look, we've had a kind of meeting about this. We don't want you to become the news item of the day. So they basically, with some undercover police, basically pushed me back. So I wasn't, anywhere close to the barrier anymore. But the good thing is, because the banner was so big on all the live broadcasts on BBC, ITV, loads of newspapers that were all broadcasting live, you could clearly see my banner. And my phone was just red hot with alerts, people just saying, oh, I've just seen you and your banner on TV. So it kind of worked. It was a £30 idea and a bit of guts and, a clever, cheeky idea. But that kind of thing worked. And, it makes for a good story as well. And I ended up in the world's media for 30 quid. So, it doesn't have to cost. I think sometimes it's the cheap kind of ideas that are just a bit cheeky and a little bit different that work for people.
Yeah, it's interesting you mention you like to do things that attract attention. Would you say that's an important aspect of social and digital, that you've got to be noticed these days?
Yeah, I think it's hard because
in terms of your content and your creativity.
Yeah, and I think it's really, really hard to stand out because we're inundated with new content. Scrolling is just, people scroll so fast these days. So to make someone stop, or even, just to spend 5 seconds, 10 seconds watching something or reading something, that you've created is really hard. I don't think anyone's really found the secret to that. And if they have, it's a secret that'll probably last a week, and then someone else will have done something better, or, you know, someone will get so used to that that they don't care anymore. Yeah, but I think it's just trying to think, what would make people stop, or what would make people share it? I mean, the thing that works well with Tenor for Good, and one of my friends said, you know, if an idea has worked, is that some, and he used to work in a bar, he said, you know, if an idea has worked, is because if by the second week, like the second weekend, if they're still talking about that idea that they came in chatting about on Saturday, and they're still talking about it by the next Saturday, you know your idea has gone really well and viral. So I think it's trying to think, right, in that kind of terms, I mean, that's, you know, that's going viral. So you may only do that like once in your lifetime. Yeah. Or something. But if you know, if you have that as your goal sometimes, if you're going for a really big campaign, what could you create that is going to get people talking? I mean, there's lots of talk about this kind of Marmite thing, that actually if you make mediocre content, you know, people are just going to scroll. If you make something that either is like one end of the scale or the other, that someone's going to go, why are they doing that? What the hell are they doing? You know, that is kind of like, that makes people stop. And so if you can make, I mean, there's a really good one I saw, I think it was the last couple of days, a guy called Dating Mark. And this guy that has just got a billboard, and, you know, he's single, and he's just lying out on the billboard, just saying, would you like to date me? It's just like, it's cost him 400 and something quid. But I think it's a really nice sort of simple idea. And he's got loads of kind of coverage from it. So he's thinking, it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just actually, it's a clever idea that people are going to make people stop and also kind of talk about. And I think also, if you can make people talk, it's like also go, like with Tenor for Good, it's like it created conversation, but people would say, well, one, first off, why is he doing it? But importantly, what would you do with the £10? And actually, you can chat to loads of different people and everyone will come up with a different answer. So actually trying to create a conversation with your content is a really clever way to engage people.
Yeah, I think you've really hit on a couple of things there. It's because I think a lot of times people, particularly on the business side, which I generally work with, there is still a certain mentality of, we just want to sort of like talk about ourselves and what we're saying and what we can do for people. But virtually everything that you said there, you kind of like positioned it from the view of the recipient, from the audience. And that's really the key, isn't it? Like you were saying, you've got to do something to make people stop, to make people ask questions, to make people have conversations. So all of that is really good stuff, because it pitches it in the right way. You're making the approach in terms of your post or tweet from the right direction, not from the wrong direction, which is yourself. You have to approach it from the other side, I think. And I like the last thing you said there, particularly interesting, sort of like causing people to have conversations amongst themselves, because of course in terms of the algorithm, you know, don't get too technical, and I don't think things should be done just for the sake of the algorithm, but that actually does help the algorithm as well. If Facebook see a whole bunch of people talking amongst themselves within comments, then that can help you a lot. But it perhaps more importantly, it actually starts to create a bit of a community, doesn't it? Because if you set the framework with your group or with your page or even with your post, and then you've got people chatting amongst themselves, then you're a little bit in control of that, because you've sort of like, you've set up the framework's the right word perhaps, but you've set up the context that they can then have a discussion.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think the other thing is, well, is sometimes you may think you're just putting out content and it's not actually grabbing people or, you know, connecting with people. And you know, with the podcast, you know, it's really nice to start getting feedback outside of like your friends and family. So, because when you do that initial launch, you're just like into your friends and family. And I did everything from like everyone on my Facebook and Twitter and got personal. And I basically, one of my secrets to kind of marketing is, rather than doing blanket stuff, I would go, as you probably know, Jonathan, I probably emailed you on every contact on every single platform saying, can you send us a review? Can you like listen to this podcast? And I think getting personal
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worked wonders for me in the past, and it's, and I only tend to do it like once or twice a year. Otherwise people are just like, you're just bugging me. But actually it's by, I think, and I say this to students, like, you just got to champion people because, and show a genuine, authentic interest in people and what they're doing. Because at some point, you know, you may launch something and it'd be great to have support of other people. So then you can go back and people remember. You'd be surprised, like people that run Facebook groups and Facebook pages, they remember almost like who actually likes and comments, like subconsciously it actually sort of goes in. So it's getting that kind of partnership going. But yeah, with the podcast, it was really nice starting to get feedback from people that were outside of your kind of friends network. And one of the best stories for me was this guy out in Dubai, who's a commercial pilot, who ended up listening to the first podcast episode, which was about the veteran Matt Prior. I didn't know him, and it was really nice. He sent me this email with everything that he'd learned from the episode, which is really cool. I was like, can you do my show notes for every episode? Because it's really good. But and then a couple of weeks, I think it was a couple of days afterwards, he said, I've listened to episode 2, which is about Adam, who was a photographer, who runs this amazing kind of project called Taking Pictures Changes Lives, where he basically crowdfunds his trips to go and take pictures around Africa and India for charities that can't afford professional photos. So they come back with these amazing photos for these charities, and it kind of helps their marketing and they can raise a lot more money. And this guy, this pilot, basically said, look, can I get in touch with Adam? Have you got his contact details? I just want to say, you know, nice one for your project and love what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that this guy then got in touch with Adam and said, how can I help? And Adam basically said, look, well, you can start donating some money. And I only found this out a couple of months into last year, that this one guy, this pilot, had donated so much money to Adam and his project that Adam was then able to donate a high-end digital SLR camera to this guy, Gene, out in Africa, who didn't have top quality content, top quality camera. And then Gene out in Africa was able to take amazing photos for the project. But also importantly, he was able to earn money as a kind of commercial freelance photographer. And he earned so much money from having this camera that he was then able to buy some land and build a house on it for his family. So it's amazing that inadvertently,
your podcast.
Yeah, that kind of moved one listener to get in contact and, you know, connect it with another guest, and then, you know, enabled this guy out in Africa to buy some land and build a house on it. So, yeah, you never know. Sometimes the content that you put out, how it's actually going to positively impact people. So that's always something to have at the back of the mind, that actually – you know, if it doesn't stick straight away or you don't get feedback straight away, you know, that story took a year to get to me. So it's really nice. And I think that kind of gives you hope as well, because sometimes you can be creating stuff as creators and you think, has anyone ever watched this? Has anyone actually kind of listened to this? Or is anyone actually going to do anything with it, importantly?
Yeah, and it shows it's not just about the likes as well. So
yeah,
the good content than the likes. Just take this opportunity for people to ask questions. So do ask Matt or me anything at all, but maybe something about podcasting, video, social media, anything like that at all. And we will reply, whether you're watching live, watching the replay, or listening to the podcast. If you are listening to the podcast, then go over to Facebook and pop your question in the comments, and we will get back to you. So, looking to the future, Matt, and you did tease something on one of your promo posts for this podcast that you're working on. It sounded to me that it was a bit of a secret project, so I'm going to try and get that out of you. Something you're working on with your wife, is that right?
Yeah, so my wife, Andrea Callanan, she's a very kind of talented entrepreneur. She teaches lots of female kind of entrepreneurs to get to the next level and triple their income and all this kind of stuff. So whenever I go into the kitchen, she's on her laptop. She's got about 10 women that she's chatting to all around the world. So she does lots of kind of online courses. And yeah, we've been chatting for a while about potentially doing something together. And it just feels like the right sort of time to launch something now. And I interviewed her on the last two episodes of the podcast. It was, I had to split it. It was so long. She does chat a bit. but yeah, we had some really good kind of feedback, including from a BBC producer. And they said they really liked the chat and it kind of sounded really natural and they liked the kind of humour. So we're starting a podcast ourselves, myself and Andrea. And we're branding the whole thing up as Me and Mr. C, because we want to also do some kind of courses and potentially some events further down the line. And because I think there's lots of people that kind of, not just in couples, but people that run businesses that have to navigate life as well, that actually there's, you know, this whole thing that you're kind of juggling two quite major things, you know, if you put them into like just those separate units. And of course there's loads of other things going on as well. And we're still learning, but I think we've learned quite a lot from running our own businesses on how to, you know, handle life and handle kids and being in a couple when you both run a business. So we're looking to impart that kind of knowledge and a bit of humour and
fantastic
with Me and Mr. C. So that's going to be coming up at some point later this year.
Catchy brand name, I like it. And is this have you announced that anywhere else, or is this an exclusive for the social media show, Matt?
That is an exclusive. Yeah, I think Andrea did a very kind of quick Facebook thing to her to her group, her very small kind of women's group. But yeah, this is the first time in public. So yes, first.
Brilliant. Well, we're on half an hour, so just going to wrap things up now. And if people, you mentioned a couple of things like your YouTube site there, but if people want to find out more about you, can you reel off your social media and your website?
Yeah, so go to mattcallanan.co.uk, and that is mattcallanan.co.uk. I know Callanan is really nice, straightforward.
We'll put it in the comments as well in the show notes so people can get that. So.
But yeah, you can have a look at wemakegoodhappen.com, wemakefilmhappen.com, and for the podcast, it's wemakesuccesshappen.com.
Fantastic. Thank you. And a question that I ask all my guests, if you were to go for a beer with any living person, who would that be and why?
For me, it would be Tony Robbins. He's the big self-help guru.
Yeah.
Just because he's been instrumental in my career and my kind of mindset and my thinking. And my dad gave me his book when I was about 12, Awaken the Giant Within. And that just kind of blew me away. And that completely changed what I thought was possible. And so, I think having a beer with him or a little bit of food with Tony Robbins would be pretty special, yeah.
Good answer, yeah. You could top up your existing learnings and maybe pick up some more good stuff. Brilliant. So it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Matt, and to hear about all your projects and your plans for the future as well. So Matt Callanan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jonathan. Been a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you for listening to the social media show sponsored by NILC. If you'd like to know more about how social media can help your business, organisation or charity, please visit my website at pollingersocial.co.uk, or you can find me on social media at pollingersocial.